Hey, good morning. Welcome to Centerpoint Community Church. We're glad you decided to tune in this morning, and we've got a very small audience. So we're continuing our series on If Money Talked, because money's got some stuff to say to us, and we're going to jump back into that. We're going to be doing part three of a four-part series that we're in the middle of. I hope you've been watching those. If not, you really, really owe it to yourself, not to me, but to yourself, to go back and watch those. It's incredibly simple, but incredibly helpful, and it has potential to turn your financial world, maybe even your world, upside down for the better. So again, just thanks for tuning in. I pray that you'll continue to let your family and friends know. They can watch, they can listen. A lot of our people just, you know, kind of turn it on, turn YouTube on, play it in the car on the way to work, on the way back. It's a way to get caught up. Lastly, we've got a build day coming up. I know we've been doing a lot of them. We've been talking about them, and sometimes we can get kind of numb to it, and so we know that. So we're going to take a couple weeks off. Our people need a break. You need a break of being talked to about it. So on December the 12th, so that's a Saturday, December the 12th, I'm hoping to get about 30 people here, and not just about six, and really knock out our punch list. I had a punch list that I'm going to get in trouble for erasing, but we'll show it to you soon. There's plenty of stuff for us to do, and almost anything for almost anybody to do. Polly, who's in charge of our, what do we call it, custodial stuff, she can always put a broom in your hand, and there's not a shortage of surfaces to wipe off and floors to sweep. Anyway, because we gotta be ready. Continue to pray for favor with the county and with the state. We are getting that. God is working. We don't always get to see what He's doing, you know, because we're just looking at the face of it, and He's working behind the scenes, and we've seen it happen over and over and over again. And so our trust is proven in our just being calm, our doing the right things, and staying the course in all of that. And it's just expressing Him that we do trust Him and that we are dependent on Him. Anyway, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to introduce the message with a quick video again like we did last week. And we're going to jump into part three, which is, says it's a flipped script. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this morning. And God, I want to thank You just ahead of time, before we even get into the scriptures, for the individuals that penned down our Lord and Savior's words, His teachings. And then, God, I just thank You and the Holy Spirit for preserving all that for a couple thousand years. It's quite miraculous. And so we know that You had Your hand in it, and we're just really, really grateful for it. So today, as we look at Jesus' teachings, I pray that that His words will come alive for us, and that, Lord, that they will transform us, our finances, our world, our relationships, and everything. So thank You for what You're doing, and thank You for what You're going to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Check this out.
Thank you for calling Money. This is your money. Okay, yes, no, I get it. I bet that speech at the fundraiser was amazing. But you know, I just don't think we can give our entire paycheck to save the guinea pigs. So how about instead we start with a percentage? No, not 99%. I was thinking lower. Now we're gonna talk about my favorite thing. It's called a budget. Hello, where'd you go? I'm gonna say a word. And this word starts with the letter B. All right, there, hung up. What if we budget? Hello?
Now we're gonna make a budget.
Hello? Today I'm gonna make a budget for you. Hello? Okay, that was fair. I just wanna help someone make a plan. Please, let's talk about a budget. Money, what's your emergency? I told you not to call me on this line. It's very important work that I'm trying to do here. Yeah, Mom, what joke was it? That is a good one. Dad, you hear this joke from Mom? Yeah, Mom, tell her. Hey, Money, this is me. I'm Money. Hello, how can I help you? Yes, I can hear that you are very frustrated. Well, I don't have the authority to spend myself, but I can help you figure out who has been spending me. Are we sure that it wasn't you, though? All right. We can look at the statement if you want to. Yeah, on page 12. That is how much interest you are paying on your credit card every month. Mm-hmm. I did not sign us up for that deal. That was not me. Okay, so you've already bought it. Oh, so now you want to figure out how to pay for it. Okay. Well, it'd be really nice if we had these conversations before you made the purchase. Thank you for calling Money. Karen, I'm so glad that you called again. Now we can finally put together a plan. I don't think I sound like your father. Well, your father sounds like a very nice and intelligent man, and maybe you should listen to both of us more. Oh, Karen, that is some very saucy language. I meant that as a compliment. You know what? Okay, I'm getting a call. I'm gonna have to put a hold on this. Hello, Money, what's your emergency? Karen, just because you call me on a different line isn't gonna lead to a different result. I am not yelling. I just need you to listen to me. Thought we were going steady.
So we've been asking ourselves the question through all of this, a couple of questions, and we've been listening to also what Money's been saying to us. And if Money could talk, what would it say? If Money could talk, there's several things that it has said to us, and we discovered that it's kind of interesting that what Money would say if it could talk matches what Jesus said when he did talk about money. So the first thing we discovered that Money would say is, I can add meaning to your life, but I'm not the meaning of life. Meaning going after more and more and accumulating and getting stuff and more possessions and more and more and more isn't the meaning of life. After all, we're going to leave it all behind anyway. So we know that it's just not the meaning of life. And then the second thing we discovered last week that Money would say if Money could talk to us is the moment that you think you own me, I own you. And that was a little disturbing. It was a little bothering. But we saw that we become a slave to it when we make life all about money and stuff and really about us. When we lose sight of the fact that that money's not ours, that we're just a manager, we realize that it's really calling the shots in our life. And that ought to bother you, that you realize that you are a slave to something. So we don't really own it because we're not going to take it with us. But we just get a chance to manage it. I really love that concept and that whole principle. So if you didn't listen to last week's, go back and check that out. We discovered also that we're responsible and accountable to someone whose money it really is. We learned that we're responsible, we're accountable to God. And I think one of the ways that we put things last week is we ought to be knowing where our master's money is going. So we need to be watching it. We told you to spy on it. Pay attention to where your money's going. Now, if you did pay attention to where your money's going, or if you already know where your money's going, then you know there's essentially five things that you can do with your money, right? You already know this, and maybe there's some subcategories in there, but typically we can spend it, we buy things for us, we consume it, we can choose to repay debt with it, we can choose to pay our taxes or not, but I would say you need to pay your taxes. Number four, we can save it for the future, or number five, that we can give it away. These are just generally the five categories that we do with our money, ways that we get to spend it, or maybe view it as ways that we get to send it. So I want us to look at this list again, and with my trusty assistant, think about these things. So if we spend it, we're essentially spending it on who? Ourselves. So we're spending it on me. If I repay debt, well, I'm repaying my debt, so that's spending my money on me. If I pay my taxes, well, that's keeping me out of jail, right? So that's really for me. If we save it, we're saving it for me so that I can spend at a later date. And if we choose to give it away, what we're choosing to do is to give it away. We either do that, well, for God and others. So just look at the list for a second. It's me, and then God and others. These are just the things that we typically do with our money. And if you're the typical individual, this is the order that we spend or we send our money in, right? And the problem with this list is it's me, God and others. God and others get the, well, number five, they get the leftovers, right? And it just seems like something's not right. So if I haven't spent it all on me, if I haven't repaid all the debt that I owe on me, if I haven't already paid taxes that I owe, if I haven't chosen to save it for me for a later date, then perhaps whatever's left over, if I feel led, if I feel good about it, or there's a big enough need, then I'll give it to God or to others. And so this is called me first living with some leftover giving. Just doesn't seem very appetizing, does it? Now, it's understandable because we probably inherited this order. This was probably what was modeled for us. And I promise you, it's what our culture encourages, is this order of things. But what I love about Jesus, and anytime we think about Jesus and his teachings, he almost always came in and turned everything upside down. It's upside down living. It's an upside down kingdom, if you think about it. So he came in and he flipped the script for us. So in Matthew chapter 6, he preserved Jesus's words. Verse 21, Jesus says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So your treasure, I mean, that's your stuff, your possessions, your money, the stuff your money has bought for you. That where your treasure is, your stuff is, your heart tends to follow that, right? And I don't think Jesus was trying to shame us. I think Jesus was trying to encourage us or introduce to us a principle that's, you know, whatever gets your money also gets your attention. Now, I mean, you know this, right? If you ever bought a new car, doesn't have to be a brand new car, but let's just say a new car to you, probably for the first, and I'm thinking about myself, you know, 6 months or so, when you went to the store, whatever store you went to, you didn't look for the best parking spot. You looked for the parking spot that was the furthest away. You might have even done that thing that I've seen some people do where you park on the line, not between the lines, you know, because you just want to keep everything and everybody away from it. You come out in the morning and there's bird poop on it, you're kind of wiping that thing off. Why? Because it's a lot of money. The thing costs a lot of money. There's a lot of your money, your blood, sweat, and tears invested in that thing. And so it's got... You might not like to think about this, but it's got a piece of your heart, right? So Jesus knew how all this worked, and he knew that money tends to take our attention. It's just what happens, and when it takes our attention, it takes a little bit of our heart along with that thing as well. So wherever our money goes, our heart goes. He said that, you know, where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there as well. What I love about that same principle, though, is, and so we get to choose where our heart goes, right? More on that in just a little bit. So I think if Jesus were to come and say, you know what, if I want to know where your heart is, if I want to know, you know, where, what gets your attention, if I want to know where your passions are and where your time is, all I've really got to do is look at, well, I just got to look at your bank statement or, you know, your credit card statement, or, you know, I need to look at where your money's going, not necessarily look at your Bible. We need to look at our Bibles, but just looking at someone's Bible isn't really going to be the indicator of where their heart is. I think Jesus said, you know, he would say, just look at where your money has gone, and I can know where your heart is going as well. Because, again, your heart follows your money. If I were to give you my wallet, oh snap, I don't even know where it is. If I were to give you my wallet, you know, I might act like it's no big deal, but I know what is and isn't in there, or at least what plastic's in there. And so I'm going to kind of have my eye on you just a little bit, because it's my money. I worked hard for that, or it represents a lot of more hard work. And so it's going to get some of my attention. It's just a principle. And so Jesus wanted us to understand this. And it's so simple, but it just doesn't necessarily come intuitive to us. So we need it explained. So Jesus I love how Jesus dumbed things down for us, or for me, without making me feel dumb. That takes love, right? So this brings us back to something that I think I alluded to in session one. I don't know if I fully made it clear, but Jesus was not after your money. Jesus owns it all. He doesn't need your money. So he's not after your money. Jesus is after your what? He wants your heart. That's what he wants. It's what he's really after is our heart. So he knew that the best way for him to take possession of your heart is for us to allow him to take possession of our money. But why is that so hard? Why is that so difficult? Now, a lot of people dedicate their hearts to God. You have service after service. It happens in a small group, happens in church, where people come, they'll dedicate their heart to God. And especially in, it's sad, especially in times of crisis. Somebody's going through a financial crisis, somebody going through a health crisis, or they got a relationship crisis, or whatever's going on, and they come because they come, and then they just, you know, okay, God, I got to surrender, and I give it all to you. But Jesus knew that our money and our possessions are really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to our ultimate devotion. So, you know, it's easier for us to dedicate our health and our career and our relationships to God, for us to surrender those to him. It's easier for us to do that than it is with our money. And I think one of the reasons why is, well, if you lose a job, if you're out of a job, you're looking for a better job, it's a financial crisis. I mean, it's like, well, I'm just waiting on that cat to call me back. If it's a health situation and we've invited God into it, we're looking for him to intervene on our behalf. It's because, well, we're relying on the doctors and we can't do anything about it. In those kinds of situations, and sometimes even in relationship situations, it's like it's out of our control. But when it comes to our money, it's a little bit different, because money's tangible. Your stuff is tangible. We can hold on to it. Your money, well, you have control over that. You can choose what to do with that. So it's just different. You know, it's easy for me to surrender the things, well, I can't do anything about, so God, you just got to do something. But when it's my money and surrender that to him, I can do something. So we tend to hold on to that a little bit better. So we tend to do our money spending list more like this. Again, Jesus just knew that the ultimate litmus test, if you will, for our devotion to God is what we do with our money. So the third thing our money would say to us, if our money could talk, is my direction reveals your affection. Our money's saying to us, wherever I go is going to reveal where your affection or where your heart is. So what you spend your money on reveals what you are concerned about the most. And you might would bow up at that and buck up at that. But I would say you just got to take that up with Jesus, because doesn't it seem to be true? And I think a lot of this may be sinking in on us as we're just kind of walking through this. So back to our list. It's a me, 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 God and others kind of order. And this is just what we tend to do. God and others are last. And, you know, if we're feeling generous, if there's a huge need, you know, if there's a hurricane and, oh, I need to go give some money to some disaster relief. If there's a tsunami and it's just kind of wiped out a portion of an island and I'm seeing all that, then I feel like, oh, there's a need. I need to do something. If there's some kid in the church or a baby even, and they need to have some heart surgery, oh, then there's a need and I'll give to that. Or if the Presbytery needs a new roof. I've been watching a lot of British TV. You know, then, oh, we'll give to help put a new roof on the church, you know. Doesn't that seem kind of weird? Doesn't it honestly seem a little embarrassing that's the order, that's what we have to do? And Jesus has called us to reprioritize. Jesus has called us to flip the script, if you will. Now, don't panic. I don't think what Jesus is asking us, although he did ask one cat to do this, I don't think he's asking you to just go sell everything and give everything away. A blanket statement to all of us. I mean, really, that would be a little irresponsible, and then you ain't going to have nothing, and then I'm going to have to support you too, and so you're just going to be a burden on. So I don't think that's what he's, you know, looking for us to do. Again, it would just kind of be irresponsible. And speaking of irresponsible, spending everything on you and giving to God and others last, that's really irresponsible, isn't it? I mean, especially in light of the fact that it's not your money anyway, it's not your stuff anyway. So relax. This isn't about you not having anything. This isn't about, oh, I got to go give everything away. What it is about is reprioritizing our life. Specifically with our money, is reprioritizing your sending it in places. Because again, you send your money in places. You say, oh, they suck it out of me and they take it. Well, no. You made decisions that dictate that you have to send it in those places. So you do get to send it. This is real cool. This is Matthew 6:33. Again, another one of Jesus' statements. And I love how he put this. It's kind of simple for us, and it might not seem real simple at first. So anyway, you've heard this a lot of times. Maybe I'll explain it a little bit different for you. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, but seek first. That means first. First is first. First ain't second. First ain't third. First ain't last. First is first. Seek first. You might have to reprioritize, because obviously they weren't, we weren't, or else he wouldn't have to tell us this, but seek first. Make this, rearrange, reorder, whatever you got to do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, when we think about kingdom, it's kind of weird because we don't really live in a kingdom, do we? So that's kind of messes with us. And if you're not churchy and you haven't been around church and you hear the word righteousness, that sounds kind of super spiritual, and that might scare you off a little bit. So it can sound complicated. So let me just simplify it, kind of make it a little bit easy. I think what Jesus was saying is simple. I think what Jesus is saying isn't complicated, and it's also really important. I think what Jesus is telling us is, listen, in my Father's kingdom, because God owns it all, so in my Father's kingdom, it's an others first kingdom. In God's economy, it's an others first economy. We talked the other week about being Jesus followers and not simply being a Christian, because we can define Christianity any kind of way, but to be a Jesus follower, I got to do things Jesus' way. And I think what Jesus would be saying to us is that, you know, listen, if you're going to follow me, it's about, well, you're going to have to be about doing what I did, which is putting others first. It's an others first lifestyle. And isn't that what he did? I mean, isn't that what was modeled in the scriptures? You think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those foretellings of Jesus' life. And when we read this, it's like, holy smokes, this guy was just, he was amazing at how much of himself he tend to give away and to help. So I think he's just telling us, listen, in God's kingdom, if we'll seek God's kingdom and his way first, this is what we've got to do, because this is others first kingdom. It maybe another way of putting it, if you got to read Jesus's story. If you claim to be a Jesus follower at all and you haven't read Matthew's gospel, his telling of Jesus' life, and Luke's and Mark's and John, if you haven't read those, then I mean, can we really be a Jesus follower if we don't read what Jesus did, right? We don't know what he did. So if you read through those gospels, what you'll see is not only did he constantly give himself away, I think he modeled for us that doing what's right is doing what's right for other people. That if I'm doing what's right for other people, then I'm doing what's right. Think about that for a little bit. And you may have some pushbacks about that. If the best thing to do is what's best for everybody, well, then that's what's best, and that's what's right, and that's what's righteous. Let me just pause for a second, because some of you have a little bit warped understanding. You need to go get some counseling, and I can say that because I go get some counseling. I'm not saying we'll do what makes everybody happy is what's right. I'm saying doing what's right, the right thing is what's right for everybody. And you know this, right? Doing what's right ain't always what, if you're a parent, ain't always what's makes your kid happy, is it? Right? So doing what makes your kid unhappy sometimes is definitely the right thing. So just doing what's right is what's right for everybody. Doing what's right for others is going to be the right thing for you, because it's the right thing for everybody. It's just weird how this thing works. But we got to put us not first. And so it's an others first kingdom. It's an others first way of living. So I think what Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to do. In your order of your finances, when it comes to money, in your order of things, what I want you to do is to, I want you to flip the script. I want you to turn it over. I want you to turn it around. I want it to be, you know, about me and other people first. Because isn't that what Jesus, I mean, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then there's a you think of it. So think about what your finances first. If we will, because this is what he's calling us to do, to first thing we do is to not spend it on us, but first thing we do is to give to God and others. And I know that's kind of weird and you're not sure that you can do that. So just think in terms of reprioritizing. So it might take you a while to get there, but think in terms first of God and others. And then you can save. We should save, right? And that's you. So the good thing is you're still on the list. You can save, you can pay your taxes, you can repay debt, and then you can spend the rest on you. This is the reordering of things that he wants us to do. And I know it seems hard. It seems like you're not going to be able to get there. But this is what he's inviting us into. Jesus is inviting us into a new world, a new kingdom, if you will, where we don't go first. And for some of y'all, some of us, it's just hard, right? Because it's like, you know, get out of my way. I got to go. It's different. And it doesn't come intuitive. It's a different world. It's a different kingdom. It's a different way of living. But Jesus did it. He modeled for us, and he calls us to it. Now, there's an advantage for you. It's not just that, oh, so everybody else can benefit. I'm telling you, there's huge advantage in this for you. Because listen, in a world where you don't go first, I believe that that's where you will find more peace. In a world where you don't go first, where you intentionally put yourself further down on the list, there'll be more joy, more satisfaction, more meaning in life, more purpose in life, that these things will come. And you may not believe this, but in a world where you don't go first, where you choose to rearrange and reprioritize your finances and therefore your sending or your spending, you will probably have more financial margin, more wiggle room, if you will, than you already do. And I know that doesn't seem to make sense, and it probably can't make sense on paper either, but didn't so much about what Jesus did not make sense? It's an upside down kingdom that he's invited us into. And I think he just wants us to try it. So look at the rest of his statement, Matthew 6:33. So, but seek first his kingdom. So Jesus is saying, seek first my Father's kingdom and my Father's righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Well, what are all these other things? Well, I mean, they're the things you worry about. They're the things you fret about. They're the things that, well, the things that have to be done. They're the things that have to be paid for, right? I mean, you got your house, your food, and your clothes. I mean, the things that are critical for life. And so just understand, they are the things that are critical for life, not all of your wants and all of your desires. But he says all these things will be taken care of as well. Your needs will be met. So this isn't about an others to the exclusion of you, know you. It's just a others first, a God and others first kingdom where you do come and you are on the list. Good news. It's just where maybe you get the leftovers instead of God getting it. Wouldn't it be, I mean, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, right? And, you know, everybody's coming over. And if you just started pulling stuff out of the refrigerator, oh, well, we don't have anything, but, you know, we got some leftovers. And you gave your guests the leftovers because you already ate the goody. I mean, it just doesn't seem right, right? And I think we know this. And it ought to be a little embarrassing when we realize that, oh, holy smokes, you know, do all for me and maybe do for God or maybe do for others. And I'm just telling you that Jesus has shown us a not just a better way, but the way, Jesus's way of doing our finances and doing our world. So it's about priorities, and then it's about rearranging things in order to get in line with how he wants us to be. So it's about who comes first, you know, seeking his kingdom first and not us first. And him saying to us, listen, and I'll take care of all these things as well. You do me first. I'll make sure that you get yours taken care of. And all I can tell you is in my experience with finances and really in other ways, when I make sure that I'm taking care of others, at least others that are a high priority in my life, their needs first, it's amazing how my needs just get taken care of. It's almost like when I take the spotlight off of the me, and I put it on God and others, then it's like, wow, these other things kind of just work out. And again, I can't explain it every time, and you won't be able to explain it every time. And I've got stories, and you've got stories. So you know that it works, and God's just asking us to bring this this principle into reality in the area or the arena of our finances as well. Not just in the, well, I can't do anything about that, so God, you got to take care of that and trust in Him with that. But even in the things where you do have control of, like your money, well, let Him come in and take control of that as well. So let me make this even simpler for you. Actually, let me get Claire, make this even simpler for us. And it's an easier system. It's an understandable system. It's a system that's easy to get your hands and your mind and your finances wrapped around. And it's really simple, and it's just three words, right? It's give, save, live. You can do this. If we reprioritize and make this our order, we already got the list of God and others and then me. Beautiful, thank you. But if it's just give, save, live, you can remember this. Say it. Give, save, live. Say, hey, I'm starting to get used to actually having some live people in front of me again. If we make this our order and make this our priority, it's amazing what happens. That if we give to God and others, and we save for our future, because that's a responsible thing to do, and then we get the leftovers, we get to live on the rest. I believe that this is how we kind of throw open the door to God's involvement in our finances. I think this is how we, because this is Jesus's order, I think this is how we open ourselves up to God's supernatural working in our lives. I am confident that in any area of our lives, but we're talking specifically about finances today, that our choosing to do with our finances, and it sounds crazy, but this is just my thinking. I'm a simple-minded guy. Ties God's hands. He's like, oh, I want to do something supernatural, and all you've got to do is to get in line with me. And it's pretty simple. You know, I let Matthew and other cats, you know, pin down my son's, this is the way God would talk, I guess, pin down my son's words to, and I saved him for 2,000 years, like we thanked him for a little bit earlier. I saved him for 2,000 years to help you understand how I want you to do. And when you get in line with what I want you to do, then, whoo, man, you open me up. You untie my hands. And listen, this is God, right? The entity, our Heavenly Father, whose job it is to take care of us as His kids. I mean, He owns it all. He's got it all, right? I mean, when He's like, my resources are endless. The ways I can bless you and knock your socks off out of this world, and I'll bring them into this world for you. And all I'm asking you to do is to, I mean, three simple words, right? Is to get in line with kingdom and others first. Prepare for your future later, and then live on the rest. It's just not that difficult. And I'm telling you, this is the way to financial freedom. This is the pathway to financial peace, financial security. All these come in if we'll give first, we'll save second, and we live on the rest. Now, here's a tip. I want you to think about in terms of dollar amounts. I don't want you to think in terms of amounts of money when it comes to giving. I want you to think in terms of a percentage. I love the idea of a percentage. And listen, I mean, you pick the percentage. I ain't gonna tell you where to start or what to do. I mean, you talk to your family and friends, you talk to other people, you can talk to me if you want to, but just, you get to pick. It's yours. You get to decide what you're gonna do. So you pick one, And then you just give it away. You figure out what percentage you're going to give, what that's going to be, and you decide that, okay, there's an organization that's near and dear to my heart. I'm going to give some there. There's a church that's made a big difference in my life and other people's lives, and they're near and dear to my heart. I'm going to choose to give there. So, you know, whoever out there is listening, wherever your local church is or the church that's made an impact on you, you get to choose where you're going to give it. So all I'm asking you to do is you pick your percentage, and you get to pick, you know, where you're going to give it. So pick it and give it. Pick it and give it. It's just like a booger for your friend. I'm just kidding. But you'll remember that, right? So pick the percentage and give it away. And listen, don't wait to be asked. Almost anybody will give money when they're asked. Almost anybody will give when there's an emergency. Oh my gosh, you know, there's an emergency, there's a need. I need you to, you know, give to this. And, you know, everybody kind of reach in and start giving. Almost anybody will do that. Listen, you're exceptional people. I want you to be exceptional. I want you to be better than that. Give before you're asked. Give before there's a big need and before there's an emergency. Choose to do it. Be a big boy or a big girl. Choose to I'm going to pick a percentage and I'm just going to give it away. I'm just going to do it. You'll find, so first find the organization or the church that you love and start giving it. And then just let it go. I've chosen and I'm going to stroke that check or I'm going to put it in there electronically and I'm going to let it go. And then second, pick a percentage that you're going to save. Again, I ain't telling you what it is. You talk to a financial advisor. This is their job, right? You pay them. Pick a percentage that you're going to save for your future. And set that aside. You give it before you can spend it, because listen, if you don't give it away, you still got it. You're going to start, oh, but I need it and I ought to and I want to and, ooh, that looks so shiny and, you know, or it tastes so good or whatever it is. Pick it, give it. Get it out of your hands. Get it out of your kingdom and into someone else's kingdom before you have a chance to spend it. Then you save it, and you got to get that away, put it in the savings before you really even see it, before you do anything with it, and this is for your future. By the way, side note, but a really good side note, your saving for your future is really looking out for others if you think about it. Your saving for your retirement is really looking out for your kids and your grandkids, because if you don't, it's your kids and your grandkids you're going to be looking to support you, right? Right? All right. I'm just in a different season of life, and I've kind of come and I've seen, and I'll tell you one other thing. I was told this by my counselor, that your saving for your retirement probably should even come before you save or you give for your kids' education. Okay? Because if you don't plan for your retirement, they're going to have to take care of you. If you've only done for their college education and then you haven't saved, then, well, I guess that's a way of looking out for yourself, but then you're going to burden them. So first and foremost, you take care of your retirement. That's just a tip. You do what you want to with it, but it is looking out for other people because you have saved, right? So save a percentage of your money second, and then, well, you get to spend the rest. I mean, really, you can consume the rest. Do what you want to with it. You upgrade, newer, shinier, whatever. If you've given away the percentage that you've picked and you've saved a percentage that you've picked, then you get to do what you'd want to with the leftovers. You get the leftovers instead of God and others getting the leftovers. See how it's an upside down world that he lives in and that he has invited us into. And when we, and even as a Christ follower, you can be one of his kids and still not really be living his kingdom way, can't you? Sure. I mean, plenty of us have and plenty of us do. So this is how we guard against financial disaster. This is how we guard against that G word we talked about the other week, greed, right? This is how we guard against it. You know, the best antidote to greed is generosity, is to give it away, right? Just get it out of your hands, and it helps to break that hold that it has on us, because, man, it tends to have a hold. Now, one last thing, and this is, there's always a tension, right? And there's going to be a tension. So I want you to pay attention to the tension. If you haven't been living like this, if you haven't been ordering your finances Jesus's way, if you haven't been reprioritizing God and others first, and then you, or me, then, and we're starting to, or we're at least starting to consider it. Listen, what there's going to be is this internal tension that goes on inside of you. And maybe it's, it's an internal conversation that's going on. Truth is, you may already be having them with me. You know, oh, David, you know, if I start living this way, if I do my finances this way, then, well, it's going to take twice as long before I ever get that down payment. David, if I start living this way, it's going to be forever before I can, you know, before I pay off these student loans. I'm going to be dead before I pay off these student loans. Listen, I understand. You're already thinking about the conversations that you're going to have with your fiance or your spouse. You're already thinking about the conversations you're going to have, you know, with your mom and dad. And I'm just asking you to pay attention to that just kind of welling up inside of you, because there's something going on. And all I'm asking you to do is to discover something about yourself. Anytime there's a tension, there's something going on, and we get a chance to learn something about ourselves. So I want you to find out and figure out what's at the center of that tension or that resistance that you have. This is important. You owe it to yourself, and quite honestly, this may be more important than any of the other stuff. You owe it to yourself to discover what's at the center of that tension or that struggle, that battle that's going on inside. You don't owe it to me, you owe it to yourself. So answer the question, what is at the center of my resistance? Why am I resisting this? Why am I bowing up at this on the, maybe everybody else not seeing it, but why am I bowing up on the inside about this? There's some excuses that we're making, and I want you to listen to what those excuses may be, because it's going to reveal something to yourself, about what's going on. And I think what you may discover about this resistance is it's not really about money after all. It may be about your trust in God. I'm just saying it may be. So just listen to it and deal with that and wrestle with that, because it's an important wrestle that's going on. So give first, save second, live on the rest. It's about, you know, do we really trust God in all this? So, you know, I triple dog dare you to do this. We're going into Christmas story season, right? To do this, it's a challenge. It's to try it. Flip this script. You know, give first, save second, live on the rest, to reprioritize. And listen, it's going to take some adjustment. If I'm going to pick a percentage and give that away, and I haven't been doing it, so maybe you got to start small somewhere. I don't know. And I haven't been saving, and I got to pick a percentage and save it. I'm starting to talk real fast, right? And I'm going to live on what's left. Well, you're going to have to make some adjustments to live on what's left. So just to shame you a little bit, I know a 25-year-old that has done this. I know a 25-year-old that has made some hard readjustments to, I mean, I'm talking about selling two vehicles to get rid of debt, selling a toy to get rid of some debt, and then readjusting so that they can do life this way. You can be shamed by a 25-year-old. Don't make me, I'll find a teenager that's doing this as well, right? So if they can do it, I mean, can a 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old? Absolutely. It's never too late to start doing the right thing. And this will impact every, not just your finances, it will impact every area of your life. Now, what I know will happen, you choose to take this dare, this challenge on, is you're going to come back to me, because people have, and be like, David, I don't understand it. It's weird, and I can't really explain it, but something has happened on the inside of me. I started doing this give, save, live kind of way, and it's weird, and it's hard, but I'm being intentional about it, and I'm getting it out of my kingdom and into God's kingdom, and I'm saving for my future so my kids ain't got to support me when I die, and I've chosen to live on the, when I die. Kids don't support you when you die, do they? Well, they may still be paying your debt whenever you die if you haven't taken care of all that anyway. But something's going on. It's changed. Well, it's changed me, and it's changed my family as well, and it's changed my finances. And while, you know, if I put it on paper, it don't make sense, but something has happened there, and I get that. It happens with me, and it's happened to other people. And I hear the stories all the time. And so I believe that this will happen to you when you choose to put God first and others first in a tangible way in your money. It just begins to change everything. So Jesus was clear again. This litmus test, and it's hard for us. The test of our devotion for God is our willingness to put Him first in the arena of our money. Not just include Him in on your money, not to offer Him the leftovers, but man, you hear me? But to put Him first in our money and our possessions. Because after all, your money would say to you, my direction, David, is revealing your affection, David. And I don't know all your other names, but my direction, where you send me, reveals your affection. And didn't that mirror the same thing that Jesus said, right? Where your money is, there your heart is also. So, cool thing. You get to decide. You get to choose, and you're a big boy and you're a big girl. Redirect your heart by giving first, saving second, and living on the rest. Can you do this?
Yes.
Will you do this? I challenge you to do it. And I am excited to hear some stories from you about what's going to be happening in your finances. So we still got one more message in this series of If Money Talked, because it has been teaching us stuff and it's been mirroring what Jesus has said. I'm excited to get to next week and to talk about the fourth and final message in this series. So let me pray for us as we take on this challenge and as we do the hard work of sitting down with whoever else is in our household and say, hey, here's how things are going to be. Because listen, when you communicate what you're going to do, now there's some accountability. If you just think about it and it's just you, it may not happen. So tell somebody, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Well, that's crazy. I know it's crazy, but Jesus told us to live crazy, right? So upside down. So let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you again for allowing us to hear our money. I thank you for allowing us to hear what your son told us about your kingdom and really his challenge or his invitation to invest in your kingdom and invest in what you're doing first. Because the truth is, we're just investing your money. It's not about our money at all. Lord, you've allowed us to be managers, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, whatever amount you've chosen to entrust us with, we're just going to believe that you know what's best. And, Lord, if we ever want to see more, maybe we need to handle it the way you've chosen for us to handle it. So, God, we want to stretch this week. We want to stretch. And if we don't do it, we don't start thinking about it this week. Truth is, today or tomorrow, then we're probably just going to let it roll off and just kind of keep on going with how we normally have done things, and we're going to keep getting what we've normally been getting. Lord, we want you to be in control. We want you to be honored. We want you to be glorified in every area of our life. And God, now realizing that our direction of our money is really a reflection of our heart or our affection towards you, we want it to be real, Lord. So we're going to make some hard choices this week. So give us courage. Give us time to sit down. Give us the words for the conversations that need to happen. And then, God, I pray that you will do something amazing in us and in our finances and in our hearts, Lord, that we will see that we truly are trusting you. Lord, we love you, and we say that we trust you. We want to prove that we trust you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I pray that y'all have an amazing rest of the day. We look forward to seeing you back here next week, or you seeing me back here next week, and we hope all to be together really, really soon. Y'all have an amazing rest of your Sunday.